What drew you to Beethoven?
I think that the original draw, apart from the sheer power of the music, had to do with the sense that there is something very humanly important in Beethoven's music. And I think the document, the Heiligenstadt Testament, illustrates that, because you have here an artist who is responding to a personal crisis, as he calls it, a lasting malady, especially the loss of his hearing, which was the sense on which he depended so crucially as a performing musician and as a composer. And I think one thing that has always inspired many people about Beethoven is this sense that he suffered a handicap, a setback, but overcame that problem. And by general consent, the greatest music he wrote is the music he conceived when he was almost stone deaf in the last 10 years of his life.
So it seems that his music actually became richer and deeper as he became completely deaf.
I would say that's a correct statement, and that back in the period of 1802, which is when he wrote down the Heiligenstadt Testament, he suffered a personal crisis, as he describes it. It's also a situation in which he had to withdraw from society, in part because he didn't want to tell people that he was deaf. He thought that would damage his career chances as a musician. At the same time, he plunged himself into his work with great intensity, and while expressing dissatisfaction with his earlier compositions, which are already masterpieces by anyone's standard, he found new innovative approaches to his art. So it seems as if, in some strange way, the crisis and his artistic development were interconnected. The Heiligenstadt Testament has always fascinated readers and musicians because it does shed light on this remarkable development in Beethoven's style. And some new light has been shed on this even quite recently. I edit a Beethoven sketchbook series. Our last publication was an edition of Beethoven's Eroica sketchbook. That's the sketchbook he used to compose the Great Eroica Symphony. And the close study of the manuscript seems to indicate that he started that document in the fall of 1802, in other words, at this very time, and that when Beethoven makes allusions in his documents from this period to his despair and to the fact that he contemplated ending his life, in other words, committing suicide, and he says that his artistic calling held him back, that only his art held him back. And it's interesting in that vein that he had just started the big new project, the Eroica Symphony, which by general consent is a landmark in the whole history of music.
And I mean, the way I'm reading it is that he finally decides to confront or accept his potentially incurable deafness.
That's right. He makes reference to experiences he has in the countryside. Heiligenstadt is not at all far from Vienna,
Right.
but in those days it was far enough out that he was in the fields and villages, a bit of at a distance from the city. And he describes how, for instance, a friend of his pointed out the piping of a shepherd, but he could hear nothing, and how he had this sense of a lasting malady, the loss of his hearing, cutting him off from nature, cutting him off from his friends and colleagues. And it's at this time too that he is very occupied with a project that not so many people are familiar with. He had just written his first major work for the stage the year before. And it's ballet music on the subject of Prometheus. Prometheus was the Titan who rebelled against the authority of the gods and who stole the fire from Zeus and gave it to humankind in the form of increased kind of self-awareness, which makes possible science and the arts. And in the ballet for which Beethoven wrote the music, there is this scenario or this kind of dramatic sequence of struggle, death, rebirth, and apotheosis or glorification. In other words, Prometheus in this version is actually put to death, but he is reborn. And I think that this same sequence you have in the four movements of the Eroica Symphony. Struggle in the first movements. The second movement is a funeral march. In other words, it's associated with death.
Mm-hmm.
The third movement, the scherzo, emerges as if out of the distance mysteriously. And the final movement is based on the main theme that glorifies Prometheus in the ballet. What I suspect Beethoven does in this period of his life is that in his personal despair, he finds a means of reforging himself as a creative artist. And there's, to some extent, an identification with the Prometheus figure. And so he recasts, so to speak, his creative project at this point. And in carrying over the symbolism from the Prometheus ballet to the Eroica Symphony, we witness one aspect of this creative development.
And that's why I guess he says in his letter that only art sustains him.
Yeah, only his art held him back. Mm-hmm. In other words, that kept him committed to life and resisting the destructive ideas that it wasn't worth it anymore.
It seems that one of the things that was Beethoven's genius is that he really was able to combine common elements with more elevated elements when it came to music. But do you see in his letter, I mean, there's such a tumultuous, kind of fearful, sad, ailing Beethoven, and then at the end, he becomes very practical.
Yes, and also you notice there's a passage there where he talks about one day of pure joy. I think that what you mentioned about things that are in that are commonplace, elements that were accessible to all of us, that this is a great strength of Beethoven's art. He was also, despite the common notion that he was a kind of scowling, grim artist, Beethoven had a great sense of humor. And the theme associated with Prometheus is actually grotesquely humorous. And he starts off in the Eroica Symphony 2, in the last movement, with just the base of the theme, which makes a very strangely humorous effect. And what he wants to convey there, I think, is that you can take virtually anything in life, and looking at it from a creative angle, it can be turned into something very precious and golden and almost inexhaustible. And therefore, that art is not detached from life. Art arises out of living, vital elements. That's reflected in his love of nature, too. Of course, he wrote that document out in the countryside in Heiligenstadt.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.